Welcome to the Deep Dive. We're diving into technology in schools today, using Chapter 5 from a text all about school tech infrastructure. Think of this like a crash course on how tech is really shaping education. Not just the gadgets, but, you know, the whole picture.
It really is fascinating how this has all evolved. You know, early research was all about how to transmit data efficiently.
Yeah.
Then it shifted to, you know, making tech user-friendly.
Mm-hmm.
But now we're really looking at the entire ecosystem of all the things that influence how tech impacts the classroom.
That ecosystem idea, it's a bit of a buzzword, I think, but I'm guessing it's more than just a fancy term. What does a tech ecosystem actually look like, you know, in a real school?
Well, think about how information flows now.
Okay.
So imagine a classroom, right? Students are researching a historical event. In the past, their options were pretty limited. Textbooks, maybe some library resources, that's it. But now,
yeah,
they can access primary sources online. They can collaborate with students in other countries. They can even create multimedia presentations, you know, weaving in their research. Technology has become like the connective tissue for a much richer learning experience.
So technology isn't just a tool. It's actually changing how we learn, how we access information, how we process it.
Exactly. And with this shift comes a whole world of opportunities.
I bet.
But also new challenges, right? It's like we've opened these floodgates to this vast ocean of information, but now we have to teach students how to navigate it all effectively, I mean.
That makes sense. Which brings us to planning. It's not enough to just like throw technology into schools. Mm-hmm. You need a plan. A thoughtful approach to implementation.
Absolutely. And there are so many layers to it. You know, you've got teachers planning how they'll actually use tech in their lessons.
Right.
You've got network administrators making sure everything runs smoothly and securely. And then you have school administrators thinking about the bigger picture, budgets and resources. And to be honest, those priorities, they don't always line up perfectly.
I can imagine.
Yeah.
Try to balance the needs of teachers, students, administrators.
Mm-hmm.
That's going to be tricky. Speaking of tricky, our source material talks about this tension between keeping school networks secure, but also flexible enough for, you know, real learning to happen. Can you unpack that a bit?
Sure. So schools have a responsibility to keep their networks secure, right?
Mm.
Protecting student data, preventing unauthorized access. That's essential.
I agree.
But at the same time, they need to give teachers and students the flexibility to, you know, explore. To try new tools and resources.
Yeah, it's a tough balance for sure.
Yeah.
How do schools find that balance? Are there any specific strategies or frameworks they can use?
Well, one approach that's pretty common is this thing called the cheap, good, fast pick two heuristic.
Okay.
Basically, it boils down to when you're choosing technology, schools often have to make tough choices. They might have to sacrifice quality to stay within their budget. Or maybe they need something quickly, so reliability takes a hit.
So even with the best intentions, there are always trade-offs.
Mm.
Do you have any real-world examples of how this plays out in schools?
Sure. So I was working with a school district. They were really determined to get a laptop into the hands of every student, a one-to-one program.
That's a fantastic goal.
Right. But to do that, they went with some less expensive laptops, which meant, you know, limited processing power, not great battery life.
Oh, no.
Yeah. So the teachers were constantly dealing with technical issues. And the students, well, they were frustrated because the laptops were so slow.
It sounds like they picked cheap and fast and good got left behind.
Exactly.
Yeah.
And it really highlights how important it is to, you know, think long term. Sometimes spending a little more upfront for more robust technology can actually save you headaches down the road.
It's a good reminder that just having the technology isn't enough.
Yeah.
It's about how you implement it, how you integrate it into the learning experience. And speaking of integration, let's talk about, you know, the people who are actually using this technology in the classroom, the teachers. How do their needs, their attitudes towards tech, how does that all play into this?
Ah, that's where it gets really interesting. So there's this whole field of research dedicated to figuring out why people adopt certain technologies, and it's called the Technology Acceptance Model, or TAM. For sure.
Oh, TAM. Yeah, I've heard that term thrown around. But to be honest, I'm not sure I fully understand it. What does it mean?
Well, it basically says that there are four key factors that influence whether or not someone will embrace, you know, a new technology.
I'm listening. And what are those four factors?
Let's start with a performance expectancy. Basically, does this technology actually make the teacher's job easier? Does it help them achieve their teaching goals?
Right.
If a teacher doesn't believe the tech will actually improve their teaching, they're not going to use it enthusiastically.
That makes sense. What's the next one?
Effort expectancy. How easy is this technology to use? If it's a complicated, clunky system, requires hours of training. You know, teachers are going to be less likely to adopt it.
Yeah. I think we've all encountered software or devices that are more trouble than they're worth. What's the third factor?
The third factor is social influence. So that's all about how other teachers, the school community as a whole, how they view the technology.
Okay.
If everyone thinks it's valuable, if it's widely adopted, then individual teachers are much more likely to jump on board.
It's kind of like peer pressure, but in a good way.
Oh.
All right, what's the last factor?
The final factor is facilitating conditions. So things like, is there reliable technical support, adequate training, a school culture that really encourages tech integration? You know, even the most user-friendly technology will fail if teachers don't have the support they need to use it effectively.
So it's not just about the tech itself. It's about creating an environment where teachers feel good about using it, comfortable and confident.
That's it. And, you know, this takes us back to that whole tension between security and flexibility.
Yeah.
Like, a school might implement a really complex password system for security reasons.
Sure.
But if it's so difficult to use that teachers can't even access the resources they need, then it's actually hurting learning rather than helping it.
It's like a lose-lose situation.
Yeah.
You want security, but not at the expense of actually being able to use the technology.
Yeah.
So how do schools navigate all of this? I mean, the competing priorities, the limited budgets, the fact that technology is constantly evolving.
That's a great question. And it's something we'll definitely explore in the next part of our deep dive. But for now, let's think about this. How do those cheap, good, fast decisions actually play out? What happens when you prioritize one over the other?
It's definitely something to ponder. We'll be back after a short break to delve deeper into the impact of technology on the classroom experience. Stay tuned.
So we've talked a lot about the big picture of technology in schools, you know, planning, security, making sure teachers are on board.
Right. But now I want to get into the classroom itself. How is all this tech actually changing the way teachers teach and the way students learn?
Well, one of the biggest shifts is this move towards personalized learning.
Ah, personalized learning.
Yeah.
Another one of those buzzwords you hear all the time. What does it actually look like in a real classroom?
Okay, so imagine a classroom where, you know, not all the students are learning the same stuff at the same pace.
Okay.
Yeah. Technology lets teachers tailor their lessons to each student's needs and their learning styles.
Interesting.
So students can work through online modules at their own speed. They get targeted feedback. They can dive deeper into topics that interest them.
That sounds great, especially for students who, you know, maybe struggle in a traditional classroom where it's like one size fits all.
Exactly. And it's not just about, you know, going at different speeds. Technology also lets teachers provide individualized support. Like if a student's having trouble with a math concept, instead of falling behind, they can access extra resources, interactive tutorials, even get virtual tutoring, all tailored to their specific needs.
It's like having a personal tutor available 24/7.
That's the idea. And that kind of support, it can be huge, especially for students who might not have those resources outside of school.
It makes me think about those facilitating conditions we talked about earlier.
Mm-hmm.
Having access to the right tech and support can really level the playing field.
Absolutely. And this whole focus on personalized learning, it doesn't just benefit individual students.
Really?
It also impacts how they collaborate.
That's interesting. I usually think of personalized learning and collaboration as like opposites. How does technology bring them together?
Think about it. Students can work on projects with classmates anywhere in the world.
Wow.
Using video conferencing, shared documents, project management tools. They can even connect with experts all over the globe, do online interviews, attend virtual conferences, even participate in citizen science projects.
So the classroom walls are basically disappearing. Learning becomes this global experience.
Exactly. And it's not just about expanding the reach of collaboration. It's also about deepening it. Technology makes asynchronous collaboration possible.
Asynchronous.
Yeah, meaning students can contribute to projects at different times, on their own schedule, and they can use all these amazing tools, shared online whiteboards, mind mapping software, video editing programs. It makes their projects so much richer, more dynamic.
So it's not just about taking in information anymore. It's about creating and sharing it.
Right. And that ties back to something we touched on earlier, this idea of anyone being able to become a global publisher. With technology, students can share their work with the world.
Through blogs, podcasts, videos.
Exactly. They're not just passively absorbing information anymore. They're contributing to the global knowledge base.
This is all really exciting. But I also wonder about the downsides. We need to be realistic about the challenges, too.
Oh, for sure. It's not all perfect. There are valid concerns about screen time, digital distractions, and there's always the risk that technology could, you know, actually make existing inequalities worse. We have to approach technology integration carefully, always evaluating its impact and making adjustments as we go.
So how do we ensure that technology is actually helping students learn, not hindering them? Are there specific things schools can do?
One crucial piece is digital citizenship.
Okay.
Just like we teach kids to be responsible citizens in the real world, right?
Right.
We need to teach them how to navigate the digital world safely, ethically, effectively. That means understanding online privacy, recognizing misinformation, dealing with cyberbullying, learning how to communicate respectfully online.
So we're not just teaching them how to use technology, but how to use it responsibly.
Yeah, like, and it's an ongoing process. The digital world is constantly changing, so we have to equip students with the skills to adapt, to thrive in this ever-changing environment.
This brings us to another really important issue, equity. Technology has the potential to, you know, level the playing field.
Right.
But only if everyone has access to it.
That's the key. The digital divide is a real problem. Not all students have the same access to technology, or reliable internet, or the support they need to develop those digital literacy skills.
So how do we make sure that all students, no matter their background, no matter their socioeconomic status, how do we make sure they all have a chance to benefit from technology?
It's going to take a multifaceted approach. Schools need to invest in good infrastructure, make sure all students have devices, internet access, and provide targeted support for teachers, especially those working with diverse learners. We also need to address the bigger systemic issues, like the affordability of internet service and access to digital literacy programs in underserved communities.
It's a big challenge, but it's one we have to tackle head on if we want a truly equitable education system.
I completely agree. And it's not just about giving them the technology, right? We also need to make sure the technology itself is inclusive, that it represents everyone.
That's what you mean.
The digital world should reflect the diversity of our society. All students should see themselves in the content they consume, in the tools they use.
That's a really important point. Representation matters, online and offline.
Absolutely. And this all ties back to teacher training and support.
Okay.
Teachers need the skills and resources to integrate technology effectively, to meet the needs of all their students.
And like we talked about earlier, if teachers aren't comfortable using technology, they're not going to use it.
Exactly. And it's not just about that initial training.
Mm-hmm.
It has to be ongoing professional development to keep them up to date on the latest tools, the latest strategies, help them really understand how technology can truly enhance learning.
So it's not just about the what of technology. It's about the how and the why.
That's a great way to put it. Technology integration isn't about just, you know, plugging in devices and hoping for the best. It takes careful planning, ongoing evaluation, and a real commitment to using technology to create learning experiences that are engaging, equitable, and empowering for all students.
Okay, we've covered so much ground here.
We have.
Personalized learning, collaboration, how technology can help students become creators. But we've also talked about the challenges. Digital distractions, equity issues, teacher training. It's a lot.
It is. But now I think it's time to zoom in on something that often gets overlooked in these conversations. The actual infrastructure that makes all of this digital magic possible.
You mean like the behind the scenes stuff, the networks, the servers, the cables? I'll admit it's not the most exciting topic, but I guess it's important.
It's crucial. It's like the foundation of a house. Without a solid foundation, everything falls apart. So in the next part of our deep dive, we're going to explore the world of school networks, bandwidth, and all the challenges of keeping everything running smoothly in a digital age.
We've explored a lot in this deep dive. The challenges of planning, the shift towards personalized learning, the importance of equity, and even touched on the nitty-gritty of school networks.
Mm-hmm.
But now I want to talk about the people at the heart of it all, the teachers and the students. How are their roles evolving in this digital age?
Yeah, that's a key question. There's all this talk about technology replacing teachers, but I think it's a lot more complicated than that.
Right. I mean, technology is a tool. Yeah. It's not going to replace a good teacher.
Exactly. In fact, technology can actually empower teachers in amazing ways. I mean, think about all the things technology can do.
Okay, like what?
Well, it can automate a lot of those tedious tasks, like grading. That frees up so much time for teachers to, you know, to do what they do best.
Yeah, building relationships with students, providing support, creating engaging lessons.
Exactly. It's like technology becomes this tireless assistant. It helps teachers be more present, more effective in the classroom.
That's a great way to put it. And it's not just about efficiency, right?
Right. Technology also gives teachers access to all this data, information that can help them really personalize learning for each student.
Okay, give me an example. What does that look like? Data-driven, tech-enabled teaching.
So imagine a teacher is using a learning management system. They can actually track how each student is doing on assignments, you know, in real time. And if a student's struggling, the teacher knows right away and can provide extra support.
That's amazing. It's like having a personalized dashboard for each student.
Exactly. And this data isn't just useful for individual students. Teachers can also see trends across the whole class so they can adjust their lessons to meet everyone's needs.
It's giving teachers insights that they just didn't have before. But beyond the data, technology can also help create more engaging learning experiences.
Right. Oh, absolutely. I mean, instead of just lecturing from a textbook, teachers can use all sorts of things. Multimedia presentations, virtual simulations, online collaboration tools.
Yeah. Technology can make learning so much more interactive, more exciting for students.
It can. And these tools can really help reach different learning styles. So learning becomes more accessible to everyone.
It sounds like technology is shifting the role of the teacher, you know, from the sage on the stage to more of a guide on the side.
That's a good way to put it. They're facilitating learning, orchestrating these experiences rather than just delivering information. And that requires a whole new set of skills.
Yeah, I bet. So how do we make sure teachers are prepared for this?
Professional development is more important than ever. And it can't just be about learning how to use specific software. It has to be about developing their digital pedagogy.
Digital pedagogy.
Yeah. Helping them understand how to actually use technology to enhance learning, how to meet the needs of all their students.
So it's not just about the tools. It's about the approach, the mindset.
Exactly. And it takes ongoing support. You know, teachers need time to experiment, to share ideas with each other, to get guidance from experts.
It sounds like we need a real cultural shift, not just a technological one.
I think you're right. Schools need to embrace innovation, experimentation, a love of learning. Okay, we've talked a lot about teachers, but what about the students? How is technology changing their role?
Yeah. What about the kids?
Well,
so it's not just about teaching them how to use technology, but how to use it to learn, to think critically, to make a difference in the world.
That's it. Technology is a powerful tool, and it's our responsibility to use it wisely, ethically, to empower students and to create a better future for education, a more equitable and engaging future.
Well said. But what about the challenges? We've talked about a few, but are there other obstacles we need to be aware of?
One thing we have to be careful of is making sure we don't lose sight of the importance of human interaction. You know, face-to-face conversations, hands-on learning. Technology is great, but it can't replace those things.
Right. It's about finding the right balance, the digital and the analog working together.
I like that. And it's a process, right? We have to keep evaluating the impact of technology on our students, making sure it's actually serving them, helping them learn and grow.
So it's not about finding the perfect solution and then just sticking with it. It's an ongoing journey.
Exactly. Technology is always changing, and we are too. As educators, we have to be open to that journey. We have to be curious, collaborative, and always focus on our students' success.
This deep dive has been so insightful. We've really explored the whole ecosystem of technology in schools.
Yeah.
From the nuts and bolts of the infrastructure to the way it's changing the roles of teachers and students.
And as technology keeps advancing, these questions we've been discussing are going to become even more important, even more complex.
So, to our listeners, we leave you with this. As you learn and grow in this digital world, how will you use technology? How will you use it to enhance learning, to empower yourself and others, to make education better for everyone?
Thank you for joining us on this deep dive. We hope you've enjoyed it.
And we hope it's inspired you to think critically about the role technology plays in shaping the future of learning. Be sure to join us next time for another deep dive into a topic that's changing our world.